Well, I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Some old faces we haven't seen for a while, and some faces back again that we are glad to see. We are so happy that you are here. This morning, we are continuing with our series from the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today, you'll be hearing about self-control, the last one listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Many Christian scholars and writers believe that continuing mastering self-control will allow the Holy Spirit to produce even more of the other eight fruit of the Spirit character traits in our lives, so we too can be more like Christ in our walk with God. So how do we get there? First, let's open in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this time together to learn from your word how to live the Christian life as you intended. May we continue to grow in our personal lives, reflecting your grace given to us for sharing with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Webster defines self-control as control of one's feelings, desires, and actions, or in older terms, temperance. The root meaning of the temperance is power over self or self-master, master over our passion. What might the lack of self-control look like in today's secular society? Let me give you a simple example. This example is called the teacher's boot story. A boy in kindergarten was having trouble putting on his snow boots, and he asked his teacher to help him. With her pulling and him pushing, the boot still did not want to go on. Finally, he got one ill-fitting boot on and began putting on the second one. When the second boot was on, she had worked up quite a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong foot." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. Then he announced, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" Like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she could laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace and courage she had left to wrestle the boots on his feet one more time. She said, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Her trial starts next month. Even the world recognizes that self-control is good in most cases, except, of course, when it applies to each individual. Then they want to pick and choose what they wish to control or not. They wish to fulfill their wants, not their needs. Do we take our lessons on self-control from the world? Of course not. But God's words infer that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But the Bible also states many times that we, as Christians, are to be in self-control. So if you believe that, we see that even Christians have their problems controlling themselves. We are responsible for getting ourselves into trouble because of the lack of self-control. Jesus and the apostles made it clear that God holds us strictly accountable for even sinful thoughts as well as sinful actions. We must wage spiritual warfare, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. D.L. Moody, that great evangelist of the last century, was asked, "Of all people you come in contact with, who gave you the most trouble?" He said, "D.L. Moody, I have the most trouble with myself." A sign on the office door read, "If you could kick the person responsible for most of your troubles, you wouldn't be able to sit down for months." Start with yourself. We must start with ourselves. The whole issue of self-control starts with self. Even as Christians, we do not always start well with self. Let me give you one more example. This story is called Busted. A woman pulls up to a red light behind another car. The driver of the car in front of her was talking on his cell phone. Sound familiar? Shuffling through some papers in the seat beside him. The light turned green, but the man didn't notice the woman beginning pounding on her steering wheel and yelling at the man to move. The man still didn't move. The woman went ballistic inside her car, ranting and raving at the man, pounding on her steering wheel and dashboard. The light turned yellow. The woman blew the car horn repeatedly as she yelled and screamed, cursing at the man. The man finally noticed the commotion. He looked up, saw the yellow light, and accelerated through the intersection just as the light turned red. The woman was beside herself, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked into the face of a very serious-looking policeman. The policeman told her to shut off her engine, step out of the car. The red-faced woman obeyed, speechless at what was happening. The policeman then arrested the woman and took her to the police station, where she was booked and placed in the cell. After a couple of hours, the woman was escorted back to the booking desk where the original officer was waiting with her personal effects. The policeman handed her the bag containing her things and said, "I'm really sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and screaming and cursing. Then I noticed something. The chosen life license plate holder, the follow me to Sunday school bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assume that you have stolen the car. Please have a blessed day." As we can see, even people who broadcast to the world that they are Christians have trouble with self-control. So do we, as Christians, will ourselves to self-control? No, because it is a gift from God. It takes a power greater than ourselves. For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Control. Don't even think that you have to grow the spirit on your own. In fact, you can't grow it on your own. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains joined to me and I to him, he will bear a lot of fruit. You can't do anything without me." Just as a vine produces fruit, the Spirit solely creates self-control. Self-control is never self-generated. It is a work of grace within us. Though we are active in practicing it, we simply bear the fruit of self-control. We never produce it. Jesus stated, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." In our own willpower, we cannot do anything that pleases God. Only by grace, only by God's grace, can we exercise self-control in our ongoing war against sin. The Apostle Paul affirms, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." That is, Christ must be mightily working within us. As a sap flows into the branch, producing fruit, divine grace must fill the believer, producing self-control. The self can never produce self-control. Only as Christians living under the Holy Spirit's control can you live self-controlled lives. When we believe in Jesus, we enter God's kingdom and God's Spirit comes to live in us. The fruit of God's spiritual growth, is the fruit of God's Spirit grows and grows in us as we remain in Jesus. As we talk to Him, listen to Him, and read His Word. As part of the fruit of the Spirit, we have been studying the last couple of weeks in Galatians 5:22-23. Let me say this again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no evil. The term self-control can be somewhat misleading. The desire control we wish to achieve is not self-controlling self. But what we really need in controlling our lives is God's power to be in control. It is power from on high by the Holy Spirit working within. Let us always remember that God's Spirit that helps us control our thoughts and action. So who is a prime example for us in the Bible to show self-control? Is it not Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who always did the will of the Father, doing the right thing, never doing the wrong, leading a sinless life? He always did what God wanted him to do, even when it was very difficult and painful. Do you remember the story that on the night that Jesus was arrested, before the soldiers came to take him, he was on the Mount of Olives praying to God. Jesus' prayer, "Father, if you will, take this cup of suffering away from me. But do you want? But do what you want, not what I want." Jesus knew he would go through terrible suffering when he was arrested and nailed to the cross. No one would want to suffer by hanging on the cross, but by his incredible self-control, Jesus chose to obey God's will rather than doing what he wanted. He wants to save you and me from the punishment of our sin. So, think about all the power that Jesus had. He had done so many miracles. He had healed the sick, created food to feed thousands, and cast out demons. He even raised people from the dead. Could Jesus have stopped the soldiers and the people from nailing him to the cross? Of course. Jesus had all the power of God at his fingertips. He could have easily stopped the people from crucifying him. But he had self-control to do exactly what God asked him to do, even through all the pain and the suffering. Jesus trusted that God's plan was perfect and willingly went to the cross. Jesus always had the self-control to keep himself from sinning and to obey God. The reason he had this amazing self-control was because he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he spent as much time as he could with his Father. The more time we spend with God, the more good fruit we will grow in our lives. And Jesus had the most spiritual fruit of anyone. So what does self-discipline look like? Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control, says Proverbs 25:28. He is defenseless and doomed to defeat. The Apostle Paul compares the self-discipline required in Christian living with an athlete training for and competing in the ancient athletic games. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in small things. If a runner would win the prize, he must bring his entire life under strict discipline through training. The strenuous workout of the athlete demands that he seriously restricts his personal liberties. If he is to be victorious, he must refuse many individual freedoms. Liberties are largely for spectators, not for champion athletes. He must pursue a proper diet, sufficient rest, and go through demanding drills. Every area of his life must be brought under control. So if it is in the Christian life, Paul urges, train yourself for godliness, to pursue holiness. A believer must hear biblical preaching and teaching, participate in corporate worship, the Lord's Prayer, Bible reading, meditation, prayer, and fellowship. All of the above. Further, he must deny many legitimate pleasures if he is to win the prize. Paul wrote, remember that in the race, everyone runs, but only one gets the prize. In the greatest of all races, the race for eternal life, everyone can be a winner. Thankfully, there is no need to compete with another person. In fact, we should be coaches and cheerleaders for one another. But Paul said, run in such a way as an Olympic athlete competing for a gold medal. As we seek to develop self-control in our lives, we need to ensure that we do it for the right reasons. Our goal is a Christian changing life, not personal success. It is true that self-control in our lives will make us more stable, healthier, more financially responsible, and more able to enjoy life. This is because as we follow biblical principle, our lives become ordered, more like God intended. But these are not the goals. As Christians, we want to be used for God's glory. The person within a well-ordered life will stand out to the rest of the world and actually have the platform to share the transforming message of Jesus Christ. So, how do we sum this up? One Christian writer put it this way. If a man is filled with anger, then anger controls his life. If man is filled with greed, then greed dominates his life. If man is filled with lust, then lust governs his life. If man is filled with love, then love influences all he does. And if man is filled with the Holy Spirit, He is controlled by the Spirit. It is, if you will, controlled by consent. We must consent to having the Holy Spirit guide our lives. You can't just go to the Bible like a toolbox to fix the sin problem that you've got and then go right back into the same old sin pattern again. That's not self-control. That's selfish control. We are to learn and live the Spirit-filled life. We don't just give our situation to God, but we give ourselves to God. The benediction is the same one that is in your bulletin, and may I read it at this time. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us live self-controlled lives so we too can be used for God's glory. Have a good day.